mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of mine. Chapter 72. Zuko clenched his fingers to stop fire ice that wanted to melt, holding it solid. Nights weren't ever really hot in the mountains, but the winds had turned off the sea, bringing in an overcast that hugged some of the day's heat close. And it was summer, fire's season. Here they come. Fong's first sally at the wall was more a testing probe than an attack. Hapless conscripts prodded forward to unravel a riddle or die. No riddle this time. Just death, scything through darkening air. Bodies fell. Zuko rubbed sweating palms on a bit of rag. He was in his armor again, even if it was mostly bits and pieces borrowed from other Marines. Lieutenant Teruko had insisted. Not expendable. He was really beginning to hate those words. Movement below again. More of Fong's scouts, picking their way through areas where the dead should have already sprung the traps. Well, yes and no. There weren't any more traps down there, as Fong's scouts realized, when they got almost to the base of the wall and reached to bend rock away from logs to clear the way. Red fletched arrows flew. There were screams. But Fong had known the Yu Yan would be after his benders. Survivors fell back, some of them raising a mound of earth as a ramp. Troops surged up to crest the wall, aiming to take what had to be just another flimsy barricade, except it wasn't. Behind muck, logs, and steel was another wall. Broad and strong enough to stand on. Broad enough to use as a spear. You missed the trap, Fong. This time, we fight. If I live through this, Dad's going to kill me, Mean thought, gripping the wall a little harder, lifting one hand to shake it just a little as his sweaty palms mixed some of the rock into slippery mud. He wasn't on the wall. His dad would have killed him for that, for sure. Tingcha Wen had already lost a brother and too many cousins to count on bossing Say's outer wall. That was one of the reasons his father hadn't objected more to his dreams of serving in the Dai Li. Whatever else they did, the Dai Li were specialists. Earthbenders trained for finesse, not raw rock-throwing power. They might raid outside the wall, but always with a specific goal in mind, disappearing into tunnels where the Fire Nation couldn't follow. They definitely did not stand on pale stone in plain view to get their heads seared off by a tarball. So he wasn't gripping a bloody spear, holding off the roaring charge. Instead, he was clinging to a rock wall in a niche he'd dug for a quiet trio of gold-eyed archers, listening to the rough, volcanic stone, feeling how it stretched and sighed with Asakitatsu's shifting magma deep below, twitching like amber-shocking silk when part of that stone moved against the mountain's will. There! Red and black face paint narrowed, and a shaft thrummed into the night. Under Mean's fingers, the pass wall stilled, which meant wiry fingers clamped on his shoulder. Kojiro was the only name or rank the eldest archer had given. If you have to throw up, do it downwind. Mean swallowed the acid taste in his throat. Dad's gonna kill me. It was almost a comforting thought. I'll be damned, Sergeant Bo thought, hanging back with the supply wagons as more and more men hit the wall and went nowhere. Somebody over there finally decided to stand and fight. On the one hand, that wasn't surprising. The Fire Nation hated to run. Attack, attack, attack. That was firebending to the core. And the man most likely in charge of the Fire Nation's defenses wasn't just the Grand Lotus. He was General Iroh, the Dragon of the West, the one man who'd managed to be sage bossing, say, for almost 2 years, and even breach the Outer Wall. He knew how to hold a siege. He knew damn well how to withstand one. On the other hand, something just didn't feel right. Your own people are dying because General Fong won't take orders from Earth King Kuei, and General Iroh's band of renegades would rather fight than surrender, Bo reminded himself. Nothing about this feels right. Still, he wasn't an officer, but he knew something about planning for a fight. If only because he was one of the men who'd ended up shepherding green troops right into the teeth of it. This place was all mountains, dirt, and rock everywhere. It ought to be a snap to just roll right over the Fire Nation, either by burrowing their army right under red armored feet, or smashing the whole pass down on the firebenders in one triumphant landslide. Ought to be, but it wasn't. The soil around this odd ring of hills was all marshy, slippery clays, and odd bits of razor-sharp rock. Hard to bend and impossible to march non-benders through without turning it into a wagon-eating morass. Like it or not, unless Fong wanted to split his forces, the pass was the best way through. It was rock, after all. Except it wasn't rock like most of the Western continent had rock. Bo wasn't a bender any more than he was an officer, but he'd been around enough to hear the difference when someone tried to bend. Sandstone was a shunk of sand and slate sliding across each other. The granite and other weird glassy rocks up here, they fractured, didn't slide neatly, broke in odd-sized chunks that the bender wasn't counting on. Worst of all, they crackled. And with every crackle of rock came a meaty thunk of arrows. Pass isn't coming down that way, not until they run out of Yuyan. Dragon's Wings was a bunch of refugees, no matter what Fong wanted to believe. Sooner or later, they'd run out of Yuyan, or arrows, or both. And then what? Bo didn't know, and that bothered him. Sure, with a strong wall and determined fighters, even determined amateurs, they could hold Fong off. For a while. Hours, maybe. But when it came down to blood and steel, Fong had the numbers. He was going to break the wall, and when he did, Dragon's Wings would die. It was that simple. And after all the losses Fong had taken getting up here, he might spare the women and children. Everyone else, no. Which was why Bo had let Fong take that poor girl Xiu. If she'd lived through the trap, Fong would probably let her keep breathing once he'd finished smashing the place. And somebody had to stay on Fong's good side if Bo wanted to spirit General Iroh out of the aftermath. Or they were going to be short one grand lotus. The Avatar couldn't afford that. Not now. Wish the general had talked his nephew into being sensible weeks ago, Bo thought regretfully. They can't win this. All they're going to do is get a lot of good people killed. And there came the first trickle of wounded, staggering back to the rear as best they could. Sergeant Bo sighed and grabbed a camp orderly. You, bandages, hot water, now. Stammering, the man scampered off. Good men maimed and dead on both sides, for a prince's pride. Bo's lip curled up in a snarl, and he headed for the first blank-eyed soldier. Everyone knew the Grand Lotus had hopes, but looked like the prince was his father's son after all. I hope Fong takes you alive, so you can see it all before you die. Damn it all, where was the Avatar? What do they think they're doing? High above the fray on Appa, Sokka glanced at Aang, then at the bloody struggle in the dark below. I'd say Fong thinks he's going to get past the wall and kill people, and Zuko kind of objects to that. Aang leaped off Appa's head, shoving the reins into Sokka's surprised hands, stood on the saddle, twisting and turning, trying to see shadows in deeper shadows. Do you see him? I don't see much of anything, Sokka said impatiently, scrambling up Appa's neck so he could loosen the reins a little. This is why night battles are bad. Timul had fought more than her share of them in a very long life, Fire Lord's peace or not. Making all the great names give loyalty to one Fire Lord hadn't stopped individual great names from hating each other's guts. Meaning sooner or later, poison, fire, or pointy sharp things came out, usually at the worst possible time. The way the ghost told it, Fire Lord Zoj's lord loyalty to his vassals had whipsawed him between spirit tugs on every side of the fight. In the end, it killed him. Which kind of explained a lot about Sozin. If someone stuck my dad in a life that killed him by inches and didn't even care, well, first off, he'd do everything he could think of to wiggle out of getting trapped that way himself. The Painted Lady's Town, those home guards in the port. When it'd come down to lords bleeding for their people, Azula was the one who tried to keep the invasion from hitting the city in the first place, not Ozai. He's not loyal to his people. Bet it's a family tradition now. Even if Zuko was jamming tradition in a vice and squeezing, sticking it down in dragon's wings, putting the rumors and Timul's memories and everything he knew together, Zuko had a habit of doing that. And he can do it, because he's in exile, Sokka realized. The Fire Lord kicked him out. No loyalty ties either way. Zuko, his whole domain, they're not stuck in the Avatar's trap. An option Sozin hadn't thought of. First, because a Fire Lord couldn't exactly exile himself. And second, he'd probably just been too ticked off. That's what I'd be if someone trapped Dad like that, Sokka knew. I'd be really mad. Really horribly kill it a lot mad. Mad enough to take on the world. Maybe literally. So if loyalty's not enough to stop vassals from going at each other, and there's no waterbenders to pull on everybody's hearts and get all the spears pointed the right way, nothing like one big threat to make everyone stand together. Like airbenders whipping up hurricanes that could wipe out islands. Or the Avatar, who could do it by himself. Yeah, explains a lot about Sozin. No way that was an excuse for what had happened. To the temples, to the whole world. Nothing was a good enough excuse. But when he poked that idea, and the Fire Nation, and what he'd seen Zuko trying to pull off, it wasn't an excuse, but spirits, it was a reason. And Aang was still vibrating in place, staring into the night like he could make the clouds pull back by sheer will instead of bending. Maybe if we drop some lanterns? No, Sokka said firmly. Night fight, light equals target. Bad idea. Katara caught Aang's arm, pulling him back into the saddle. If no one can see anything, how can they keep fighting? Hey, doesn't stop me, Toph pointed out. Don't know how many earthbenders can see with their feet, Sokka said wryly. It doesn't really matter. All Fong has to do is point them at that wall and say go. Aang was back up, bouncing on the saddle edge again. But they could hit their own people. Rock flew. There were screams. Somehow, Sokka said dryly, I don't think Fong cares. But why is he doing this? Nobody else has to die. Grabbing his air staff, Aang jumped into the air. I'm going to stop this. Aang, Sokka yelped. Wait, that's not going to... Green fabric washed gray by the starlight, Aang vanished into the pass. Oh, hell. It was simple, Aang thought, swooping through the night. It had to be. Stop the armies, stop the fighting. All he had to do was put a wall in the right place. Except, Teo had said earthbending was bad. Toph had, too. Even Iroh had gently warned that Asagitatsu was furious after centuries of neglect, and anything but the lightest of touches on the earth in the wrong place could set off a spiritual spasm that would be, well, bad. But it couldn't be that bad. Fong's army was earthbending all over the place. And he was the Avatar. He could do this. All he had to do was find where in this channel of shadowy rocks Fong's people were going after Zuko's. Arrows whistled past, feathers scraping his arrow tattoo. Aang jinked right, except there was kind of a rock wall in the way. What are you shooting at? Kojiro refrained from rolling his eyes. Teenagers. Not that he'd expect an earthbender to be this jumpy, but first combat was hard on anyone. And Mien did have fire in his blood. A pest. We can't shoot Teo's people. Kojiro smirked. Trust me, we're not. After all, Prince Zuko had said to avoid the Avatar if he showed up. And he had, by a gnat's width. Because orders were orders. But Kojiro was old enough to remember how Lord Kuzan had burned his life out. And why. Byakko had a long memory. Think you're going to mess up a Byakko battle plan, will you, Avatar Aang? Kojiro knocked another arrow, tracking the fluttering glider down. I think not. A puff of breath blasted Aang back from the wall, let him skim down the side of the pass without breaking his air staff's ribs. Maybe I should get on the ground, if I can't see anybody. His feet hit earth and his stomach lurched. Rock wasn't supposed to fizzle, was it? Because this was not right under his feet, but not that far down. Maybe earthbending a wall between these guys wasn't the best idea. Maybe if I just pull up the shallow earth, it'd be okay. So I just have to put it between guys who walk like earthbenders and the ones who walk like firebenders. Except when he'd been training to see with his feet, there hadn't been any firebenders stomping around. And the earthbender he trained with was Toph. Nobody here walked like Toph. He could feel people walking and running and fighting, but he couldn't feel who they were. Okay. Keep breathing. Think. Where's the biggest fight? That's got to be the right spot, right? Except between chunks of stone being flung one way and the arrows and streaks of fire coming the other and the spears and dao and stuff on both sides, the whole pass felt like one big fight. Where could he put a wall that would separate the armies without leaving some guys trapped on the wrong side? What do I do now? Dim red lines glowed in the darkness. Embers that had been banked by soil, now uncovered by shovels or earthbenders working with the marines. Zuko sighed, relieved. That bloody light was signal and signpost. Retreat this way, and help the guy next to you if he missed it. Lieutenant Teruko thought they couldn't hold the wall anymore. He'd hoped for a few more hours, closer to dawn, but he trusted her judgment. And Sergeant Kyo's. The gray-haired Marine had handled enough green recruits to know how long their band of combat-shocked volunteers could hold together without breaking. Step one, bloody Fong's nose. Step two, pile them up at the wall as deep as we can. Step three, let Fong have the blockade. Teruko's survivors would take the time he needed to grab it and retreat to a third, lower wall, a good bow shot back. Let them take it. Zuko breathed in and out, aware of Shirong on his left, worrying Rock between his fingers. Saluan and Longshui on his right. The Kyoshi warrior ready to kill things while Longshui clutched his katana like a tree in a flood. You ought to know better, Fong. I told you who you were dealing with. 6 years since an heir of Sozin had gone to war, and Fong hadn't met Azula. On the battlefield, 6 years could be a very long time. You should have studied your history, Fong. I did. Oh, Agni, I don't want to do this. Hold the ice solid, just a little longer. Aang! Cupping a hand at her mouth, Katara searched through the darkness, trying not to see the bloody chaos below, trying not to imagine Aang in that. He'd blame himself for all of it, when it was two armies' vicious stupidity that had caused everything. Aang, where are you? He could be anywhere, Sokka swore under his breath. Toph, if we land, can you find him? Land? Katara objected, pointing to the bloody pass. In that? Guys, Toph tried to stick in. If we have to, yes, her brother said, grim and fierce as she'd seen him in the invasion or the siege of the north. If we don't find him, one of two things is going to happen. Either somebody who doesn't even know who he is going to take a swing and kill him, or they take a swing and don't. And if they don't, it's going to be Fong and the fortress all over again, only this time Fong's sitting on top of a freaking volcano. Guys, Toph persisted a little louder. Katara couldn't keep from shivering. Aang, he wouldn't. He's been near volcanoes before. Not near this one, he hasn't. Guys! Toph yelled in Katara's ear. We don't want to land in the pass. Trust me on this one. Fong's coming through the pass. Yes, he is, Katara said bleakly. I'm glad you can't see it. Zuko's people are running from the wall, and if they can't hold it anymore... She winced. The men of her tribe never gave up until they were dead. People from Ba Sing Se wouldn't be that brave, but they had to know what Fong meant to do to their families. If they were running, they had no hope. Toph waved a fist under her nose. You're not listening! She pointed out into the night, more or less where the rock walls narrowed below them. Fong had to come through the pass. Zuko set it up that way. And if he knew that, he knew he couldn't hold the wall. And that means... You think he meant Fong to take the wall? Sokka yelped. That's crazy. That's... His voice died, and Sokka tugged the reins tight. Yip, yip. Toph, we're gonna land on the crest. Get down and find Aang before... He gulped. Before what? Katara demanded. Sokka had his eyes closed. As if he were praying. Shichi ni sunawachi tatake. Please let me be wrong. Please. Well, Aang thought, swallowing hard as he skimmed his air ball up the side of the pass to avoid blood and boulders. At least I found the wall. And Fong. He could hear the general shouting from the top of the blood stone pile. The same kind of frightening triumph Aang had heard after the Avatar spirit had almost flattened his fortress. Onward, brave soldiers of the Earth Kingdom! The night has cost us, but they have no more strength to face us like men! An iron lantern sparked in a soldier's hand, enough light for Aang to see Fong fling out a stabbing finger. There is their pitiful last bastion, and it will fall in an avalanche's fury! Onward and cleanse our land of the stain of fire. Shatter their dwellings, salt the ground they have planted, and let their blood wash it clean. Do not stop while a single intruder breathes. The Avatar is with us. Blood seemed to freeze in Aang's veins as he leapt into the air to soar toward armor and insanity. No, no, I'm not. Shadow dancing in the lantern light, Fong thrust his fist forward. The earth roared. standing on the caldera wall as it shook was like trying to listen in a tornado. Toph snagged some of Appa's fur to make sure she knew which way was up, and tried to center herself in the earth. Like trying to hold up a rock with jelly. She could feel the heat burning underground, rock itself burbling thick and sticky as melted sugar. Hot stuff was flowing like syrup around colder, harder chunks of rock, making them melty around the edges. And if it could melt, it could move. What's going on? Katara's hand gripped her shoulder as the waterbender tried to stand. Why is Fong bending the earth all the way over here? He's not. From the sound of it, Sokka was having a little more luck keeping his feet. This is an earthquake. An earthquake? Katara's pulse jumped through her skin, even in the midst of the chaos. They'd hit a few tremors in the Fire Nation, but nothing like this. When does it stop? If we're lucky, before Asagi Tatsu decides to go up. Sokka crashed to the ground with a curse, got back up on one knee. Toph, I can't see Aang in this. She had to yell. Her ears were shaking so much. Toph felt like she was getting slugged with a cart full of stone bells. I can barely see Appa. Kinda figured. Can you do anything? Are you crazy? Toph yelped. It's a whole mountain, Sokka. Yeah, so you flattened half a palace once. Sokka's knees scraped over the ground. His hand caught her wrist just above her band of space rock. You're not Aang. I know that. But maybe if you hold a little of this still, he'll see it, and then... And then what? Demanded a familiar, unbelievably frustrated voice. Really, I want to know. Because if you've lost him, in the middle of a battlefield, on an avatar-eating volcano, then right now there isn't anything I can think of that Aang could do to make things worse. Which means, obviously, I'm missing something. Sparky! Toph grinned. I should have known. From the slosh, Katara had just opened her water skin. Just like your sister. People are dying down there, and you're up here, safe and... Iron chains rang through Toph's hearing, binding Katara up with a tangling yelp. Thank you, Zuko sighed. Humph, an older voice, thick with the accent of Ba Sing Se. If the little princess thinks any of us are safe, the Dai Li snorted. More space metal moved, Sokka's sword drawn and ready. Let her go! No! Zuko's growl cut straight through the rumble. Asagi Tatsu is this close to... You know what? I don't have time for this. Saluen, you talk to them. Sokka likes Kyoshi warriors. Shirong, Toph, Agent Shirong. He knows the rocks here. If you think you can get anything to hold still... Long Shui. Toph tuned the rest out, trying to figure out how to stop the unstoppable as her teeth rattled together. And Shirong hopped and wove his way over shaking ground. Usually she'd root her stance all the way down to the mountain's heart, standing as the unyielding rock everything else broke against. But now? The earth itself was shivering, like she'd shivered in cold, thin air. A rock-gloved hand brushed her shoulder. We're over Asagi Tatsu's magma chamber. Shirong called out over the rumbles, almost in her ear. From what Byakko records tell us, water volcanoes blow when hot magma gets thrown against colder rocks and melts all the gas out of it in one blast. We have to stop the mixing. His breath caught. If I just knew how, a whole mountain. I've bent earth to trap men and spirits, but this... Toph blinked away flying dust and smirked. Yeah, that might work. You just think it's too big. She took a breath and stood. No fists clenched, no fancy-dancy stance. Just heels and toes and muscles taking the shock of the ground trying to split under her and holding her up and away. If you can't center in the earth... It was as hard as trying to lift Appa one-handed. But at least she could breathe down here, even if it hurt. then let the earth, center in you. Rippling outward, rock stilled. There's Appa! Heartsick but relieved, Aang soared out of the pass towards Pale Fur. Maybe he couldn't stop this battle by himself, but Sokka would have an idea. He always did. The earth had quieted down, after all, and that had to be Toph, pulling one of Sokka's crazy plans. So Appa's easy to see, Aang thought, glad to be back in the air. Sometimes that's a good thing, especially in a mess like this, when you can't see anything. Weird. Why did he smell cold seawater? Snap! Blue and yellow bloomed on the summit, and suddenly Aang could see everything. Fong on the taken wall, head jerked towards the flickering light, the pass full of bloodied Earth Kingdom troops. The smaller wall Aang hadn't realized was almost at the exit of the pass, spearmen in red armor huddled behind it. Wet trickles from lumps of melting blue ice that had been hidden in the murk near the top of the pass. The cold, bleak look on Zuko's scarred face as he held a handful of fire and breathed out. The pass exploded in flame. The night dragged at his bones. Zuko let his eyes close just for a moment, trying not to smell charred flesh and bone. There wasn't as much of that as he'd expected. The natural gas had scorched and burned, but the real killer had been air. Or rather, lack of air. The fire had swallowed it all. On open ground, wind would have rushed in to feed the flames. Men would have burned, but those outside the fire would have lived. In the tight channel of the pass? Lieutenant Teruko cleared her throat. Sergeant Kyo's bringing him now, sir. Zuko nodded, forcing himself to concentrate on here and now, the stains and soot of the third wall, where anyone who could wrap a bandage was busy with the survivors. Almost anyone. I want this to be over. Get some rest when you can, Lieutenant. I will when you do, sir. Don't do that, Zuko said dryly. I need you sane. The earthbender Sergeant Kyo shoved forward had made an effort to clean off the blood and soot, but no amount of water could wipe the shock off his face. Good. Major Yilin, Zuko said coldly. You appear to be the most senior officer still alive, so I will say this one more time. And if you refuse to listen this time... He let flames dance over his knuckles. The Major swallowed convulsively. Do what you will to us. The Avatar will never allow the Fire Nation to hold Earth Kingdom land. Zuko almost laughed in the man's face. Who knew what the Avatar would do tomorrow? But right now, Aang was huddled up on the top of the caldera wall with Appa and his friends, white-faced, singed, and probably agreeing with every horrible name Katara was heaping on firebenders. Seemed that he'd actually been in the air over the pass when the flames had gone up, and that hadn't been fun at all. Can we say howling updraft? Oh yes, can't airbend when there's no air to bend. Tomorrow, it wouldn't be funny. Right now, maniacal laughter wouldn't get him what he wanted from his defeated enemies. Too bad. This is not the Earth Kingdom. Zuko held that green gaze. By treaty with Earth King Kuei, this domain is mine. Breathe. Don't lose it now. You can accept that and treat your wounded and leave. Or you can march into the bay and drown. He smirked. I should warn you, it's crowded down there. They won. It felt like a spear through Sergeant Bo's chest, even as he pulled a few last survivors out from under scattered bodies in the dark before dawn, helping them back to the temporary camp on the fire side of the pass. It hurt, deep and tearing in a way he hadn't felt since never. He'd faced the Dragon of the West before, but not like this. Fire. The pass had been filled with fire, howling like the polar bear dogs legend said roamed in packs at the North Pole. A horrible, hungry blaze that sucked away air and life like sand through an hourglass. Only no one would bend this back to cheat time. They lured us in, and they crushed us. Bo swallowed bile as he broke up a fight over barrels of clean water, before the two exhausted men involved actually came to blows. Wounded men were always thirsty. This time, General Fong thought, hell, we all thought we had them on the run, but the Dragon of the West had just been waiting, biding his time. A dark smile flickered over Bo's face as he headed toward the little knot of red standing on the third wall. Some were in armor, some were not. One of those who wasn't had a flowing gray beard and some of the saddest gold eyes Bo had ever seen. General Iroh, and I thought I was going to rescue you. The way the night had been going, Bo almost wasn't surprised to see a Dai Li loom up out of the smoke, though he did wonder where the man's hat had gotten to. State your business, the agent said bluntly. Bo blinked, and blinked again. Not his imagination. In better light, the ribbon on the Dai Li's braid was red. Sergeant Bo, retired. I've got some letters for a tea merchant, name of Mushi. Heard he might be up this way. Did you? The agent gave him an appraising look, eyes picking out the knives and brass knuckles tucked around Bo's person, as if he was going down a checklist. This way. Okay, I gotta ask, Bo sighed, as they headed towards red uniforms. What's one of you guys doing all the way up here? Long walk from the inner ring. I never did like the inner ring, the agent mused. I was assigned here, Sergeant, by order of His Majesty, Earth King Kuei, to observe and report that the treaty was carried out in exact detail, with the spirit's blessing. Irk! Near the base of the wall, Bo stopped in his tracks. You mean, the general really was? 'Cause sure, he'd been willing to believe Fong was over-enthusiastic, and that Dragon's Wings wasn't lying about having a treaty, but the spirits were mixed up in this? Why? In violation of his orders, if you want to put it kindly, the Dai Li said dryly. Though I think the Earth King will see it more as malicious treason. A few more minutes of Earthbenders tearing the caldera apart, and a Sagitatsu would have erupted, which would have killed us, and everyone within 100 miles of us, including Avatar Aang. His voice darkened. And that would only include the immediate deaths. History shows us a Sagitatsu's ash can freeze the Earth even to Ba Sing Se. The Earth Kingdom's starving, and no Avatar to stop the Fire Lord. Yes, I think Earth King Kuei would call it treason. Bo shivered, unable to make his feet move. He'd walked into blood and battles and even fire, but right now? No, he couldn't go any closer to red armor. Not now. Generals and kings, always pushing men around like pie show tiles, never tell us why. Damn it, he's the Grand Lotus. I thought he was past all that. The agent gave him a second look and nodded. I'll let him know you're here. Bo shrugged in reluctant thanks, watching the small knot of armored firebenders above him. Huh. There was one whose armor didn't match, like it was all made for somebody taller. Maybe one of the rare girls he'd found on the battlefield? Lantern light caught the scar as pale gold eyes stared over the battlefield. Bo frowned, uneasy. That didn't look right for a youngster after his first major action. He couldn't put his finger on why, just not right. Sir? An older firebender, in marine armor, helmet pulled off to show short gray hair as he approached the exiled prince. Sir, my lord. And that was another thing that wasn't right, Beau realized, as the first light before dawn started creeping into the sky. Not that he knew a lot about Fire Nation manners, but you had to know something about prisoners you caught. Sir and my lord didn't go to an exiled kid. They went to the ranking military officer on the field. Didn't they? The prince started, then took a deep breath. Sergeant Kyo, we need to arrange an honorable burial. It wasn't their fault their commander was... A rock-headed idiot, sir? The Marine offered. A fanatic, Zuko said grimly. Honorable burial, and pyres for our people. You did warn him, sir. I know. The young man's voice was bleak. The Avatar bends the truth, and nobody ever calls him on it. I tell people what I'm going to do, and nobody believes me. I don't understand people. Sir, when someone in your family says they're going to find a man, decapitate him, and burn any town that sheltered him to bedrock, most people don't want to believe it. The sergeant shrugged. The Avatar's everybody's spirit tale. Your clan deals in reality. Mean and bloody as it gets. Most people, well, they can't take too much reality. Not without a hell of a stiff drink. Kyo waited a moment, then gave the prince a sidelong glance. Sir, I think the lieutenant had some good advice. I know, Zuko breathed. I will. I just wanted to see. Cloth caught the wind with a snap, and Beau turned westward. A flag fluttered high above the wall. The triangular banner and streamers Beau had seen above 100 Fire Nation camps, only not scarlet. Pale, bright blue caught the first full rays of sunlight, streamers of mute blue-green fluttering in the breeze. Fire-red threads embroidered 5 characters at the flag's heart, 4 wheeling around the center. Water, earth, fire, air, spirit. Zuko drew himself up and nodded. Carry on, Sergeant. Trying not to gape, Beau watched him walk away, and jumped a foot when someone cleared his throat behind him. Gah! General Iroh smirked at him. Sergeant Beau, I hear you have letters for a friend. Yes, sir, Beau said stiffly. Great! Adai Li, New Mushi, and General Iroh were connected. What else could go wrong? Which led him to glance at the wall again, and the pass, and the bodies still lying where they'd fallen, and trying not to shiver, as all the facts finally fit together. I was going to say polite words about your victory, General. As viciously as possible. It was amazing how sharp a good sergeant could make his tongue without ever using a foul word. Fanatic general or not, these were his people. But it wasn't you, was it? I had planned an attack from the rear, Iroh admitted. It would have had much the same result, but it would have taken longer, and more of our people would have died to defeat you. My nephew invented a different approach. Dark gold was hard. Had we followed my intent, General Fong would have slain us all. I knew the man was driven, but to deliberately tear at the foundations of an active volcano. His plan, Beau got out. Felt like his stomach had relocated somewhere near his sandals. He's just a kid. Just a kid. Guan Yin's merciful veil. What was he going to be like if he got older? My niece recites military history well, Iroh mused. But it seems my nephew has inherited his father's gift for aggressive improvisation. The general smiled. Would you care for tea? Water that didn't taste like smoke and copper, Zuko cupped it in his hands, swallowing slow, measured gulps, when what he wanted to do was pour the whole pitcher down his throat like a desert-lost madman. He wanted to, but he didn't. Too much water was like too much anything else. It'd hurt you if you were lucky. Worse if you weren't. Zuko splashed what was left in his hands over his face, trying not to think about worse. They'd found a lot of springs along the caldera wall, water seeping through volcano-shattered rock to run as quick, clear glints through moss and ferns. Some they channeled into cisterns and tunnels to the fledgling settlement. Some they just left alone. This one split the difference. There was a basin and a shaped ledge for a rough bench, with a hollow under it for buckets and other useful things. Not that too many people used them, besides his marines. This spring was almost a third of the way up the wall. Inconvenient. With enough of a climb to it that the average refugee was cursing all the steep slopes before they were halfway to the springhead. And that didn't even begin to consider the rattle vipers. Chewing off another bit of flesh on a long, wriggly skeleton, Asahi burped. "You've been around Orikia too long," Zuko muttered. "You're picking up bad habits." He tapped a foot on the ground, looking for any movement. Most of the surviving rattle vipers near Dragon's Wings had figured out an ostrich horse scratching at the ground was reason to be elsewhere. Most of them. Dark eyes blinked at him, beak plucking up a bit of leftover spiny skin. Asahi tossed her head his way. "No thanks, not hungry." His stomach was still a seething mass of knots. He'd promised Uncle he would eat something. It was the only reason people had let him escape to be alone this long. And he would, just not quite yet. "More water, and have some salt with it. Don't be an idiot." Yeah, idiots got themselves dead. Worse, they got other people dead. Whole piles of... Zuko shut away memories of fire and wind, walking back to the rough-shaped spout, diverting part of the spring into an easy fall for a bucket. Filled his pitcher with more water, and moved just as deliberately back to the bench. "Don't think about it. Sip water, splash water, nibble a tiny bit of dried red dulse and salted Aya salmon. Swallow hard and let his stomach think that over before he tried anything more solid. But most of all, just breathe. And try to feel where Asagi Tatsu was cranky. She hadn't liked Fong's last desperate move." Fire filled his mind again, and Zuko had to hug himself against the early morning chill. "I don't want to do that again. Ever." Now, if only he could lie to himself and say he'd never have to. Asahi chirped at him, nudged an empty skin with her talons. Zuko sighed. "We'll look for some later." A shadow moved with the wind. Silent, Zuko watched Aang land, pasty-faced and shaken as he'd ever seen the airbender. Waited while Aang folded up his air staff, thin hands fiddling over a task he knew the Avatar could do in his sleep. "He looks bad, and he's not saying anything." For Aang, that was a bad sign. "I came up here to be alone, damn it!" It didn't matter what he wanted. He had responsibilities, and one of them had just dropped in for a visit. Still silent, Zuko poured a little more water into his hands, cupping it over smoke-reddened eyes, patting the rest over forehead, cheeks, and hot throat. He stepped away from the pitcher, one shoulder lifting in a half-shrug. Biting his lip, Aang poured some into his hand, gulped it, and stared back toward the thin trails of smoke still marking the chip. Hair shadowing his eyes, Zuko waited. "That was awful." "Understatement." "Yes," Zuko said quietly. "It was." How could you do that? Aang's eyes were wet. How could you? There had to be another way.
I had to stop him, Zuko said simply. Before he ripped the caldera apart, before he killed everyone and drove Asagitatsu over the edge.
He met that gray gaze, too tired to soften the blow.
I had to stop him before Asagitatsu killed you.
Aang went dead white.
Damn it, never know what to say.
Sit down. One hand fumbling along stone, Aang all but fell onto the bench, never taking his eyes off Zuko.
You had to, but...
That didn't come out right. Zuko rubbed at a knot of headache. Habit making him check Asahi's beak wasn't anywhere near Aang's skin. She would bite if she thought she could get away with it.
Aang, damn it. Have any of the other avatars told you about the Face Stealer? What he's done? What he's after?
Roku told me he was dangerous. Kurok said he stole his girlfriend.
Aang took another gulp of water.
Yangchen said he gave Xiangchen visions, and that was part of what killed her.
Great. Spirit advisors who don't tell you about the spirits. Makes perfect sense.
Zuko sighed. It's a long story. We put it together in bits and pieces. But ages before humans were ever here, the Face Stealer was. The spirit of the world created him. Because when things live, they have to die. The world was like that a long time. Life, death, spirits.
And the Avatar, Aang said bleakly.
We don't think there was an Avatar then, Zuko told him. Not until the spirit of the world decided it had to understand humans. So it became human. It left the spirit world, like the moon and ocean did, to live in a real body. And never went back. Not to stay.
He glanced at Aang. It came to our world and left the Face Stealer, its child, its student, alone.
The airbender gulped, eyes wide.
Yeah, he gets that, Zuko thought, utterly tired.
Who knows how long that went on. But 1,000 years before Yangchen was born, Avatar Kesuk went insane. And humans, and dragons, and sky bison, they did what they had to stop her. Right here.
Zuko waved at the bowl of the caldera.
You know how you feel about the firebenders who killed Master Gyatso? That's how Ko feels about us. All of us.
But... everybody who attacked the temple is gone, Aang got out. And even if they weren't, Gyatso wouldn't want me to...
He trailed off, shivering.
No, Zuko agreed. He was a good man.
He looked toward the smoke again, like worrying a loose tooth. But that takes a lot of courage to say, I'm going to stop. I've had enough. Done enough. Nobody else has to die.
He grimaced.
And Fong...
Fong wasn't really brave, was he?
Aang was fingering his staff again, eyes anywhere but on pale gold.
Not the way Sokka is, fighting Azula when he can't even bend. Or Toph. That was what she did in the past.
He shook his head, wide-eyed.
And Katara, you should have seen her during the eclipse. She fought a dragon.
Damn it, that's where Makoto got to, Zuko realized. Where was she now? He had to know.
But Aang was still as shaken and horrified as Zuko had been in a back alley years ago, with the body still burning around him. And he remembered how awful that night had felt. How numb and bleak and empty the world had been.
Aang needed someone to listen before he flew apart. Makoto would have to wait.
But Fong wasn't brave like that, Aang said in almost a whisper. If he was brave, he would have believed in Kuei.
Huh? But I still don't know how you could do that.
Aang's voice was ragged. He wiped at wet eyes.
It wasn't like the North Pole, or when Fong scared Katara, or anything like that. You knew you were going to hurt them, and you still did it.
I knew I was going to kill them, Zuko said flatly. And I did it because I had to. Because Fong was going to kill us. And if we die, the last chance for calming Asagi Tatsu down dies with us. Because the Great Spirits are using us all in the Face Stealer's damn grudge match. And that is going to stop.
He breathed in, let a little steam escape.
But when you cut through all the reasons, Aang, I did it because I am a great name and that's what we do. I hate death. I hate killing. But Fong was going to kill my people and I would not allow that to happen.
He took another breath and swallowed back any hint of tears.
So I killed him. That's who I am. That's what I am. Zuko, son of Ursa, and Fire Lord Ozai. If there's anyone in my family who can't kill, I don't know them.
He had to look away.
So maybe you should stop asking how. You're not me.
You're not me. Aang rocked back on his heels, not sure what to think. On the one hand, it was kind of a relief. On the other, Guru Patik said we were all one, that the differences between people were just an illusion.
Zuko gave him a look, the kind Sokka had given Katara after they'd caught her feeding Appa purple tongue-dyeing berries. The firebender groaned and scooped up another handful of water to splash his face.
Way too long a night for this.
Aang frowned. You think he's wrong?
I think, Zuko said, careful as somebody trying to balance three trays full of air cakes. You're trying to take something really complicated and make it way too simple.
Oh, come on. Master Gyatso said the mark of a master was being able to make complicated things simple, Aang stated.
Zuko's brow went up. And you think you've mastered people?
Well, yeah, Aang shrugged. I cleared all my chakras. It's not like bending.
Zuko cocked his head, studying him through that scarred eye, just like
Timul. Aang held back a shiver.
So you think bending is the hardest thing to master?
Zuko said neutrally.
There was a trap here, and he just knew it.
I'm the youngest airbending master in the world.
You're the Avatar, Zuko said deadpan. From where I'm standing, that makes you the oldest airbending master in the world.
Aang sputtered. That was just not fair. He'd earned his arrows. Everybody in the temple had said so.
People aren't simple, Zuko went on. If they were, there wouldn't be dead soldiers down there. Men I didn't want to kill. Men none of us wanted to kill. But we didn't have a choice. No, you stop right there, Aang. We had no choice. Because those soldiers, those Earth Kingdom men who might have been our own family, were the soldiers following Fong, who kept following him, even when he told them an airbending master, an air nomad, wanted them to wipe out women and children.
But that's a lie, Aang protested. I wouldn't do that. I told him I wouldn't. I told him I couldn't. I'd never want that to happen. He was lying to them. Why couldn't they understand that?
You don't want that to happen, Zuko breathed. Really? Fists clenched and steamed. Hissed from flared nostrils.
Then do something about it.
Heart beating fast, Aang backed up a step.
Maybe this really wasn't a good idea.
You want to stop the fighting? You want to keep people from dying? Then you need to stop running when things get hard.
Zuko said grimly, You need to stop and think and listen. And you need to be smart, Aang. You need to be very, very smart. Because the only way to stop something like that, he flung a hand toward the chip, without killing everybody, is to stop the fight before it ever starts.
But you started the fight by coming here, Aang protested. None of this had to happen.
I started this? Zuko's voice was ice. I thought you said Fong should have been brave enough to believe in Kuei.
Eep. Well, yeah, but
stop. Zuko shook his head. Slow and deliberate. Just stop and listen to yourself. You say I started this. You say Fong should have believed in Kuei. One of those is a lie.
No,
Aang insisted, heart racing, hands almost shaking.
No, it's not. I'm an airbender. We don't lie.
Ty Lee is an airbender. Zuko's eyes were cold and sad, and her entire life was a lie. Aang gripped his air staff hard, feeling the ground wobble under him.
That's not true.
Because if that was true, then...
Then Fong hadn't believed anything Aang had told him. Fong hadn't believed it was the Avatar spirit who'd done those horrible things at the North Pole. He'd thought Aang could kill, which meant... Fong believed I was a liar. Fong believed... He could say that the Avatar wanted people to die, and I'd do it if he just hurt my friends enough.
You were right about Fong, Zuko went on, voice almost as quiet as the wind. He was a fanatic, which means he was a coward. Brave people believe they can be wrong, that things get complicated, that life is never as simple as they want it to be, and that you never use anyone else as an excuse. He reached out to lay a hand on black fur and feathers, rubbing behind pricked ears. Funny thing about being brave, it looks a lot like being scared. Difference is, you don't run. He drew a deep breath. So decide where you stand, Aang, and stand.